calling all members of the in crowd. If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. You can find us on Facebook, The Fade Route with DNZ. We're on Spreaker. We're on YouTube, The Fade Route with DNZ. Catch our videos. Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and spread the word. Coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Hi from the Ayo Studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The Big Cat gets his meniscus repaired. Chicago still has the number one pick and Justin Fields. And we order up the NL and AL West in baseball. But we begin today's show with a trade. Breaking news. The Padres are nearing an agreement to acquire right-handed starter Dylan Cease from the Chicago White Sox. Headed back to Chicago are right-handed pitching prospects Drew Thorpe, who was acquired in December as part of the Juan Soto trade, and Yairo Iriarte, outfield prospect Samuel Zavala, and minor league reliever Steven Wilson. Z, what does this do for the Padres?
I'm so confused by this trade.
Me too. I don't get it.
I don't understand. This is a win now move.
Obviously, Taylor's thinking. I don't know what the hell he's thinking.
Like, how do you let Blake Snell walk? How do you trade Juan Soto to the Yankees? Like, and then justify this move? I mean, I understand that Blake Snell is going to cost you allegedly a shit ton of money. We'll see. We'll definitely see. Well, we know that Juan Soto is testing free agency. We know who his agent is. So we understand that. Dylan Cease does have a few more years of arbitration years. So there is some element of control there. So I can see where they're coming from with that. But here's what I also see. He's had two good years. Two. This is a good coup. This is a good move by Chris Getz, right? You maximized your haul for Dylan Cease before you risk any potential injury or poor performance that would somehow diminish your prospect load as you get closer to the trade deadline. Obviously, the Yankees weren't budging on the Spencer Jones addition, so you had to find another idiot who'd be willing to move a top prospect, so when in doubt, call AJ Preller. AJ Preller's all in on that shit. Fuck them. Fuck them prospects. forget Les Snead and fuck them picks. We now have AJ Preller. Fuck them prospects. It's confusing. And I really think, at the end of the day, all you did was get slightly better than the Dodgers in name value for your rotation until Ohtani gets there, right? Because Glasnow, he's got his own injury history. Yamamoto, who the hell knows? Like, he's never
pitched. Yeah,
exactly. He's never pitched a meaningful game in the States. It's spring training at the end of the day. So you're making a run. You might get there. You're past the Giants. So good for you. You might have secured a wild card spot with this. Maybe. Possibly. Looking at the National League. But all in all, it's confusing. And I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But I mean, his track record indicates that it's not going to be anything great.
Listen, I mean, I like Dylan Cease. I know you're not a big fan of his. I think he's good. I think he helps. He can help a team win. It's just that it's hard to put a gauge on the Padres, right? Because you had all these stars last year, and the freaking Diamondbacks wind up going to the World Series. So, and they, you know, so I don't really know what's going on with the Padres. I don't know because to me, I'd rather have Blake Snell, and I don't know why nobody likes this guy. Maybe because of what he's asking for money wise. I don't really know. I mean, we're gonna do our order ups later on, but I mean, this move didn't make me feel any differently about where I put the Padres. I mean, you got a solid. I mean, does he become their ace, Z? Or Yu Darvish is still their ace, or do they consider Joe Musgrove their ace?
Greasy Joe is not an ace. No, Greasy Joe is not an ace. He's a number three. I think you slot in Cease between Darvish and Musgrove, and you take your chances. You know, Michael King is most likely going to be in that rotation too. You know, they had high hopes for him coming back from the Yankees in that trade, so we will definitely see. But if you're looking at projections, if you're looking at averages, he has an average, Dylan Cease does, over a 162 game season. You're looking at a 3.83 ERA, which is fine. In Petco, that ball flies from time to time. I really don't like his chances. I really don't like his chances. And the reason why people are backing off of Snell is the same reason why people are backing off Dylan Cease. Like, I need more success. Recent years have kind of like, Cy Young year aside, Blake Snell hasn't been that great. That's the reason why Cody Bellinger's market died down. He had an MVP, you know? He had an MVP and then went into the wilderness. Blake Snell had a good year, but had a lot of mediocrity in between getting pulled out of the game by Kevin Cash in the World Series and then winning the Cy Young. So it's a lot of meh right now. And, you know, if you look, do a direct comparison, it's not even close between Blake Snell and Dylan Cease. The only difference is you got Dylan Cease on the cheap for a few more years. Meanwhile, Blake Snell wants $20-something million a year, maybe more. But if you do a direct statistical comparison, Blake Snell smokes Dylan Cease in every single category.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't understand, but they're in a tough spot, you know, basically because of what happened last year. You know, last year was considered a failure.
Need a little inspiration in the kitchen? Want to try something new? Or maybe you just need a new YouTube cooking show to binge? Well, I have the answer for all three. As You Eat It, hosted by me, Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's As You Eat It, available only on YouTube. AZ, You Eat It. Check it out and let's get cooking.
Moving on, the MLB season is about to start. We've got trades going on, which is what we kicked this show off of. Hockey season is heating up.
Just came out of the trade deadline with that, too.
And the teams in the NBA are jockeying for playoff position as we head down the stretch. But, Z, we're going to really start today with NFL free agency. In particular, the quarterback situation. So we had Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, Kirk Cousins, Drew Lock, and Sam Darnold all have new homes, while Baker Mayfield signed a 3-year, $100 million contract with the Bucks. Z, out of those quarterbacks, which one will have the most success next season?
Well, I can immediately...
I know you're going to lead off with Drew Lock.
Nope, not a chance.
That's my guy. Love it. Love that he's a Giant.
Ugh.
It's a great day to be a Giant. It's a great day.
Yeah, well,
my guy, I love Drew Lock, love him.
If there's an an injury exemption for Daniel Jones. Drew Lock is your guy until they take J.J. McCarthy. And then J.J. McCarthy's your guy. So Drew Lock doesn't move the needle for me. And then Tyrod Taylor went to back up Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. So that's all you need to know about the Giants quarterback position.
Talking about the guy running for vice president?
Yeah, we'll get to him. I mean, so Tyrod Taylor might end up being the starting quarterback for the New York Jets next year if Aaron Rodgers...
I don't really get that either. I mean, we can jump right into that. I don't... Why would you sign Tyrod Taylor, who has a history of always being hurt? The guy has never played professional football without getting hurt. He gets hurt so often that one time he got hurt while he was sitting on the sideline getting injection for his ribs. He had his lung punctured and he was out, which started the Justin Herbert era.
Tyrod Taylor has Tony Romo-level bad luck.
How is it possible that the Giants, your crosstown rival, is able to get a much more competent backup quarterback in Drew Lock, who had a good season, who's been a starter in this league, who has a better arm, taller, everything better? How does this happen? How about Gardner Minshew? Why wouldn't you make a phone call and try to get Gardner Minshew as a backup? You're trotting an Aaron Rodgers out there who may or may not be running for vice president, who is coming off an Achilles tear. He's 41 years old. And your first fucking phone call is to Tyrod Taylor?
Well, we don't necessarily know it was the first phone call, but we know he answered because he took that low ball of an offer.
Dude, that's the only phone call that guy got.
Well, here's the thing.
Jacoby Brissett goes to the Patriots? You didn't want to get Jacoby Brissett in the building?
No, because he's not a threat to Aaron Rodgers. Like, none of these guys are threat to Aaron. Tyrod Taylor's not a threat to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, so you're starting to say Jacoby Brissett is a threat to Aaron Rodgers? That's why he didn't get a phone call?
Jacoby Brissett actually will play. He's been healthy. Like, that's the thing. That's the reason why, you know, Jameis Winston. That's why he's not...
Jameis Winston! Another guy! Yeah, thank you for saying that name.
Backing up Deshaun Watson. You want to talk about... Here's the thing.
Jimmy G just got fucking cut.
Yeah, Jimmy G just got cut. 100%.
Let him be the backup.
100%.
I'd take Jimmy G over Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Get hurt.
Tyrod Taylor is good in bursts. He is mobile. He'll slide the pocket. He's a better version of Zach Wilson. He's a more polished passer.
That is such a slap in the face to Tyrod Taylor.
Well, I apologize, but you know what?
What did he do to you?
Well, you know what? I mean, you know what? When he was in, he moved the offense. He absolutely moved the offense. And
I'm not saying the guy's a bad player. I'm not saying that he's a bad player. I'm just saying in a system and in a situation where you have a guy who's coming off an Achilles tear that got hurt last year. Why would you go get another guy that's always hurt? That's all I'm saying. And if you're going to get a guy that's always hurt, why this guy? That's all. That's my question. I don't really understand. Do you want to win? Sometimes I just don't think they want to win. They don't really want to win. That's not something a winning team does.
The New York Jets have become a cult of personality.
It's not
a football team. It's a cult of personality.
And what do they all sit in a room and they say, we're going to call Tyrod Taylor. We need a back. Is this how the conversation went? Listen, guys, we don't want to get stuck in the situation we got in last year. You know, we didn't really have a competent backup last year. Who we got on the board? Oh, okay. All those guys are going to be free agents. All right, let's call Tyrod Taylor. Let's give him a shout. Is that really how it went down? God, I hope he was the last phone call you made. I hope to God. But then again, I can't believe that, Z, because if you called Jameis Winston, he doesn't want to play with Aaron Rodgers? Like, you're telling me these younger Gardner Minshew doesn't want to play with Aaron Rodgers? He doesn't like the idea of the possibility of getting in a game, backing up the schmuck? I don't...
Apparently not. And you know what? You also had the comeback player of the year, Joe Flacco. A reunion with Joe Flacco is not on the table, huh? Like, he's an Indy now.
Wait a minute. That's actually another great point. You saw Joe Flacco take that Cleveland team make them better for six games.
Yeah.
Get to the playoffs and compete for a quarter and a quarter and a half with the Texans. And you don't call him a guy who's been in your building?
Well, Terod Taylor's been in the building before. He was a former Jet. I mean, let's, you know, he had his opportunity. I believe he was a former Jet at one point. But, yeah, no.
Definitely been around. He was a Bill.
He was a Bill. He was a Raven. He's been around the block.
He's a Super Bowl ring, I believe, with the Ravens.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But, you know, you had a lot of veteran quarterbacks available, and this may not be the only move. I mean, Terod Taylor, his injury history is well documented. But so is Aaron Rodgers at this point. Four snaps. That's all you need to know. Four snaps, 41 years old. That's all you need to know. So if they think they have enough QB depth, they don't have enough QB depth. Because Zach Wilson is still on this team. Zach Wilson is still there. They gave him permission to seek a trade. I haven't heard anything.
Tell me how he probably woke up on Tuesday morning and read that Mac Jones got traded to Jacksonville for a 6th-round pick, and he's like, shit.
I mean,
because your market just hit a fucking dive, my friend.
I mean,
Mac Jones, a much better quarterback than you, just got traded for a 6th-round pick. Dude, you're gonna be working at Wendy's, man. Like, I don't know what that market is. But if I'm Zach Wilson's agent, I'm calling the Rams. Yeah. I'm calling the 49ers, and I'm basically saying, listen, just give the kid the minimum you can give him, and let him compete for the 3rd-string job. Like, just let him get in the building, let him hold the clipboard, let him learn under you. And if you don't like him after training camp, cut him. Yeah. I will support you cutting him. That's what he needs, unfortunately. Like, he needs to go to somebody that can teach him how to play quarterback. Because going back and watching the film, I mean, he can throw. He just tends to run in the wrong direction. And he tends to make the worst fucking decisions you can make as a quarterback.
Which is why Terod Taylor's an upgrade.
Oh, yeah. Fireman Ed's an upgrade. I'm just saying, you didn't do the best you could do.
No.
You're not doing the best you can do at all.
Call Denver. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. Well, let's see, you know, why
Wouldn't
not?
Wouldn't that be interesting if Zach went to Denver? That'd be pretty interesting.
It's close enough to Utah. Like, that would definitely, right? That would definitely be, he'd definitely be in his element.
That would be epic if they got that going.
But as far as the other guys on the list, I mean, Mac Jones is not going to be a factor this year unless something horrific happens to Trevor Lawrence. And I can't argue that he's better than C.J. Beathard. So, like, he's really competing, as far as I'm concerned, he's competing with Beathard and Barkley for the second or third string. And he might be able to beat out those guys, but C.J. Beathard's a veteran in this league. He knows what he's doing. Matt Barkley's a veteran in this league. He knows what he's doing. So there's no guarantee.
That's another good backup. I forgot about Barkley. Barkley is a good backup.
Barkley's solid. And in the right system, Barkley can be very good. And that's the reason why Mitchell Trubisky is back in Buffalo.
Another good backup.
Yeah. But, you know, you're looking at who's having the best run of this, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins secured the bag again.
That agent's the best agent in the National Football League.
One goddamn playoff win.
I mean, dude, this guy has made more money than Tom Brady at this point in his career. Tom Brady's got like 33 playoff wins. This guy has one. And he's only played in 3 games.
Yeah.
Like, the numbers are stupid. And I think I sent this to you this week. So just so everyone's aware of Kirk Cousins' track history. In 2012, he had a standard 4-year rookie deal. In 2016, he got $20 million fully guaranteed. In 2017, he got $23.9 million fully guaranteed. And then payday happened in 2018, where he got the first ever fully guaranteed contract in the NFL with $84 million. He then went on in 2020 to sign another fully guaranteed deal for $66 million. And in 2022, He signed another deal for $35 million fully guaranteed. And now with the Falcons, he got $150 million, and $100 million of that is fully guaranteed. Yeah, best agent.
Yeah.
And Cam Newton can't get a job.
And
Cam Newton's got more playoff wins than this guy.
And who did Kirk Cousins lose to in the playoffs?
DJ.
Daniel Jones. And as we said, Daniel Jones ain't worth shit.
He ain't worth shit.
So that's, you know, that is the mirage that is Kirk Cousins. Like, he's very good at securing the money. He's very good in the regular season, as we've seen. Now, maybe he unlocks something in Atlanta, right? In the post-Matt Ryan era, which has not been good.
Right? A lot of people have been saying that. I heard Dan Orlovsky going off and saying, like, how the Falcons are now a playoff team.
Bullshit.
I just don't see it. Like, he's not that good. He's mediocre at best. He's competent. But if he couldn't win with the Vikings, how is he going to win with Atlanta? Like, that Vikings team was stacked when he was there.
Yeah.
Someone trying to tell me Dalvin Cook is not a good running back. Dalvin Cook was a great running back when he was there. Yeah. Yeah, TJ Hockenson for quite some time. Like, they had Justin Jefferson. Even Madsen was a good player. So if he didn't win there, why is he going to win in Atlanta? What is happening in Atlanta? What is going to go down in Atlanta that wasn't going down there?
And you had a Mike Zimmer defense that was actually pretty good.
Who's Atlanta's number one guy? Oh, Drake London? That's their guy.
Drake London, Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts has not been that great.
He's been the Pitts.
Bijan's whatever. Like, it's...
Well, hang on. Bijan's been whatever because Arthur Smith, like, he had, like, naked pictures of Arthur Smith and a goat or something. I don't know
FedEx
what the hell
guy?
Yeah. I don't know what the hell was going on last year with Arthur Smith that he refused to use Bijan Robinson and didn't dress him. But you figure that Raheem Morris is not stupid. Right? You figure Raheem Morris isn't stupid. So you run the rock with Bijan Robinson. Maybe you bring in another wideout. Maybe you kind of revamp that a little bit. Hey, you know what? Go get Adam Thielen. I'm sure Carolina would happily get out from under that contract. Have a reunion with Adam Thielen. So they'll be better. Second place. But that is a one playoff team division. And that is Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They re-upped Baker. They re-upped Mike Evans. Right? They're going to be good to go. So who's going to have the most success? I got to say, Baker 1, Cousins 2. And that guy, I like Russ to the Steelers. Like, the more I think about it, yes, they traded Deontay Johnson. But you know what? Something about Steeler wide receivers, they become headaches. Steeler wide receivers in recent vintage become headaches. AB, Juju, Johnson, they all become pains in the ass. And Mike Tomlin doesn't do pains in the ass. To their credit, the Steelers don't do pains in the ass. And it's $1.2 million, right? They signed him for $1.2 after that massive cut, right?
Yeah, $1.2. They don't have to pay him.
Right. And if shit goes south, $1.2 million? Cut him. Like, at you owe him nothing. It's $1.2 million. He's 35 years old. He's a stopgap. Like, he's absolutely a stopgap. But I think Russell Wilson, on spite alone, is going to have a very good season. And don't look now. The Bengals are coming back to the pack a little bit. The Ravens, I like the Derrick Henry signing. But I don't know. I mean, they just lost Patrick Queen. They just lost a big part of their defense to the Steelers. So they're definitely going to make some noise in this division. And of course, how can you forget the Cleveland Browns? Like, the Cleveland Browns, that's going to be, as always, a black and blue division. And if Russ can play up to his potential last year while minimizing the drama, Steelers have a shot to make the playoffs. The Steelers have a shot to win the division, as far as I can see. But I mean, what do you think? You have a wide variety. And we didn't even touch on your boy Sam Darnold going to Minnesota yet. I know you love him, so, the floor is yours on that one.
Happy for Sam. Let me ask you a question. I'm curious to get your Baker last year, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Russ, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Yeah.
But Baker gets the $100 million contract in 3 years.
Baker's also 5 years younger, I believe.
Is that what it is? It comes down to youth?
I think so. I mean, I would not sign Russell Wilson to that contract at 35. I would, 30 years old.
Do you think the Steelers should have called Baker Mayfield?
I mean, they've seen enough of him when he was in Cleveland to know what he's about. And he kind of fits the Kenny Pickett mold. Like, that would have been, like, that way you don't have to worry about tailoring your offense, to a different style of quarterback if and when he gets hurt.
I just thought it was interesting. I
would have loved Baker on the Giants. I think Baker Mayfield had rehabilitated his image and rehabilitated his stock in this league last year. And Tampa Bay knew they were onto something, and they knew they could not let him leave the room because, I mean, what's left on that roster? Kyle Trask? I mean, they see enough of Kyle Trask to know that he's nothing special.
You're pretty much saying that you think the Bucs and the Steelers will make the playoffs.
I mean, that's a one team division, as far as I'm concerned. The NFC South, they're only getting one team in the playoffs. It's pretty safe to say that it's going to end up being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Steelers are in for a fight. The Steelers are in for a major fight. They barely squeaked in last year.
So Baker's the best quarterback in the NFC South?
Well, he is the best fit. Like, if you're going to look at it, you would argue Kirk Cousins has more talent than Baker Mayfield. You could make that argument. But when you look at the players around Baker Mayfield and you look at the players around Kirk Cousins, I still don't know what Drake London is. I still don't know what Kyle Pitts is. I still don't know what Bijan Robinson is. And I am not sure that Kirk Cousins makes them better. Like, I really don't know, because we've seen how many different quarterbacks with these guys, and none of them have made them better. So maybe he will. Maybe he will. But I just don't think Cousins moves the needle the way Baker moves the needle with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, for me, out of those guys, I'm going Drew Lock, because Drew Lock's my guy. I'm looking forward to him eventually becoming the starter for the New York Giants and competing at a high enough level where they're competing for a wild card. He's played for Denver. He's played for Seattle. He's had good players around him. He's had shitty players around him. He knows how to throw. I'm looking forward to the Drew Lock era in the Giant blue. Might even buy a Drew Lock jersey. I'm all in on Drew Lock.
From your lips to God's ears.
Along with quarterback, a few running backs changed teams. One in particular caught New York headlines when Saquon Barkley decided to sign a $33 million deal in division with the Philadelphia Eagles. Former running back Tiki Barber took this personal and said, "You are dead to me," to Saquon Barkley. Which prompted jokes throughout the whole league of everybody pretty much saying you're dead to me to all the players that were leaving teams and going to other teams. I mean, is the hostility warranted when a player of Barkley's stature decides to play for a team in division? Or is that just part of business? I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles are paying him, so I don't know what the gripe is here.
$26 million out of that $33.75 is guaranteed.
Yeah. I would have went to Houston. But from what I gather, Houston wasn't coming up with the guaranteed money. The other team I would have wanted to play for was the Ravens. Yeah, if you're the Ravens, would you rather have Henry or Barkley?
I think Derrick Henry fits my style better.
Well, it depends on what you want to do, right? If you're going to, I mean, we talked about it last week, but if you're going to put him in on goal line, you're going to put him in the 20 in the red zone, the Ravens are going to be a problem, you know? And the good thing about the Henry deal is that, you know, you're trying to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You want to be able to go to Kansas City in 25, 20 degree weather and run the football. Derrick Henry could do that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he definitely can. You pair him with a speedster in Justice Hill, I think you're on to something. I mean, Gus Edwards, he ended up with the Chargers. Dobbins.
Eckler went to Washington.
Eckler's with the Commanders. Josh Jacobs went to the Packers, and the Packers subsequently cut Aaron Jones, and he subsequently goes to the Vikings. Tony Pollard ends up with the Titans.
Mixon goes to Houston.
Right. It goes from Joe Mixon's getting cut to, oh shit, Joe Mixon got traded to the Texans. So a lot of running back movement for a position that we thought was being devalued around the league. It sounds like it's valued just fine.
None of those guys really got paid. Barkley got a decent deal. He's also pretty young. I didn't have a problem with him going to the Eagles. I think the only thing about it is if you're the Giants, you pretty much decided to sign Daniel Jones. You decided to keep Jones over Barkley. That's what it looks like.
That's exactly what it was.
And that kind of looks bad at this point. That's the only thing. But, you know, the part people miss is part of playing in the NFL is let your enemies make mistakes. Let your enemies overpay for your talent that you are moving on from. And I don't think there should be any heat there. It's not like the Yankees or the Red Sox. It's not like it's the Bears and the Vikings. It's the Eagles and the Giants. And the other thing is he's a fucking PA guy. Like, he lived in Pennsylvania. Like, he went to school in Penn State. Like, he's not home in Philadelphia, but he's from there. Like, and they're paying him. It's not like he had two offers and he's taking an offer with the rival. The Giants didn't want him anymore, and they shouldn't want him. They're not ready for him. They don't need him.
No.
And you can get that kind of production from any guy. When you're shit, you're shit.
The Giants brought in Devin Singletary. Like, Devin Singletary.
I don't get that. But.
So, Singletary and A.J. Dillon's still on the market. Matt Breida's still in that building.
But like, the other part of the Giant piece, though, is they went and made some big defensive moves, right?
Yes,
they
locked up Dexter.
They got Byron Burns. They locked up Dexter Lawrence. Like, their defensive line is pretty fortified now. So it's like, whatever, man. Like, whatever. This is part.
They lost Xavier McKinney. They brought in Jalen Mills to fill that role. They revamped the offensive line with John Runyon and the tackle from the Raiders. Like, they brought in Isaiah McKenzie. The Giants, they're going to be better than they were last year. You can't be worse. You can't be worse than you were last year. Now, the question is quarterback. You brought in Drew Lock, right? You have the injury exemption with Daniel Jones. If he can play, great. If he can't, you brought in Drew Lock. Right? That's kind of what the situation is. More than likely, they're going to draft a quarterback. Maybe not at 6. I think that would be a mistake to draft a quarterback at 6. Right? You have so many other needs on this roster. Maybe you go for a reclamation project like a Spencer Rattler. Or you go for a guy like J.J. McCarthy, who might be a project. Go for a guy like Penix, who has a little bit of a ding with his knee injury. Right? That might slide him down the board. You put a decent offensive line around him, maybe you got something. But, you know, with Saquon, I am of the mind that I've seen what Saquon Barkley is. He's certainly not touched by the hand of God.
No.
He's a good running back. Yes. He's nothing special.
Right.
He's absolutely nothing special. And you do a direct comparison to Josh Jacobs. Do you know how many more touchdowns Saquon Barkley has than Josh Jacobs?
No.
One.
Really?
One. And it's 12 receiving touchdowns. Like, that is what is putting Saquon Barkley in that conversation. Josh Jacobs.
I would take Josh Jacobs over Saquon totally. Every day.
And Josh Jacobs has a thing we like to call the rushing title. So that's a good move by the Packers. I think that's a very that's a fantastic move. And the Eagles, it's still very, it looks very dysfunctional. We still don't know. There's a very sour taste left in your mouth if you are a Philadelphia Eagle fan. Like, what is this offense? Is this Jalen Hurts? Is it the tush push again?
Does Kelsey come back now?
No. I mean, you need to replace him. You need a new center. But he announced his retirement. Now, maybe they lure him out of retirement in the middle of the season when they're not doing
jack.
Well,
no, he was actually saying that he's kind of upset that he's going to miss out on this, and he likes all the moves.
He's pulling a Brady?
I don't know. But he comes back. I mean, that's different. But, you know, surprisingly, Chicago has not dealt Justin Fields or the number one overall pick. Now, we expect New England and the Commanders and even the Giants, right, to select a quarterback in the first round, but they are unlikely to trade up for the number one pick. Is the market softening for the number one pick in the 2024 draft?
The market is certainly softening on Justin Fields, right? If you go through the league, multiple sources indicate that they would not consider him anything more than a backup.
Wow.
So that's pretty damning. It's a pretty damning statement of a guy that was once considered a franchise quarterback. So,
given the choice between Kyler Murray and
Justin Fields.
Take Justin Fields.
Without blinking.
Given the choice between Justin Fields and Geno Smith, I think I'm going to take Justin Fields.
I would take Justin Fields because he's younger. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
I mean, you can do this with a lot of different organizations, right? I mean,
I'm going to float an idea to you.
All right, let's hear it.
You're the Philadelphia Eagles. Draft day. Call the Bears. Give you a third round pick for Justin Fields. I actually give you a third round pick and a player.
You do that deal. You do that deal.
And if I'm Philly, the way I look at it, I look at it like this. We run a very run heavy offense. We've been lucky that Justin Fields is not, I mean, that Jalen Hurts has not gotten hurt the last 2 years. But I'm going to have these guys battle it out in camp. Jalen's my starter. And if something happens to Jalen, I've got Justin Fields. And then I still have Justin Fields in his rookie deal. And I've essentially traded a third round pick for a quarterback, right? And a backup quarterback is not easy to get these days. There were 60 different quarterbacks that started last year in the National Football League. So now I have Justin Fields. You and I both know that next year there will be at least 5 teams that are going to lose their starting quarterback. One of those teams is going to call me for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's going to be like the Josh Dobbs situation.
Yes, but like, I mean, it's a little bit more. Justin Fields is a little bit more established than Josh Dobbs is, but
I'm just trying to say, like, you're going to get into a situation where somebody is going to really, like, need a quarterback to compete early in October or even maybe November, and I'm going to have the guy. It's clear you're going to call me. And what am I going to do? I'm going to upgrade because now I'm going to get in for my third. I'm going to turn my third into probably a second, maybe even more.
Yeah, I mean, you would have the leverage at that point.
Trading a third round pick for a competent quarterback to back up my running quarterback.
16 touchdowns, 9 picks last year. Not bad. Like, that was Justin Fields' numbers.
He's good. He's good.
He's in a shit situation.
I can see how people think he's a backup. But I mean, if you're Justin Fields, and the Bears come to you, you're like, listen, we're gonna draft Caleb Williams. Is that gonna be a problem? Can we have the both of you in the quarterback room? What do you say? Fuck off.
You've never really developed the team around him. The coach has never really.
Well, what do you? But if you're Justin Fields, what do you say if they come?
I want out.
Trade me.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Like, well, we're trying to trade you, and we can't find someone to trade you.
Try harder. That's it. Try harder.
Get me out of here.
That's it.
I'll go anywhere.
Because, you know what? I mean, with the moves that the Bears have made, you can argue that they're trying to take a swing, right? And I don't know necessarily if Caleb Williams helps them complete that swing.
I think what's happened with the issue with trading the pick or trading Justin Fields is that they're looking at what Alex Smith went for. They're looking at what Sam Darnold went for. They're looking at what those guys went for, which was basically a second-round pick and other picks. It was a bevy of picks.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like you're saying, teams around the league are like, man, he's a backup. We don't really think he can start for us. I can't give up second round and a bevy of picks and players for a guy that's not even going to play, you know?
No way. I mean, if you're looking at the quarterback market, I can just go sign somebody. Like, I don't necessarily need to move multiple pieces of draft capital for Justin Fields. And I'm still of the mindset, if I am the Bears, like, I'm still considering Marvin Harrison Jr. at number one. Like, for me, if I think that I'm making the right moves and I'm going in the right direction, and Justin Fields is the guy, or could be the guy, give me Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, who's to say that the Cardinals don't trade up, right? Because you figure the Commies are locked in at number two. Maybe they would move to number one if they felt they had a shot at Caleb Williams. If the Patriots, I mean, Jacoby Brissett is a stopgap. We are in agreement on that. He's there to be the backup for whoever they draft. If the Patriots feel they have a shot at Caleb Williams, would they engage the Bears? Would the Patriots take Justin Fields in a trade and then draft Marvin Harrison?
The thing is I really believe, personally, that New England wants the kid from LSU. That's what I do. Regardless of what happens before them, they really have decided, we're taking Jaden Daniels. That's who we're taking.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Z, I really truly believe that the Commanders have made their decision that they're going to take May. I don't think they're interested in. I know it's a nice homecoming, Caleb Williams, he's from the area, but I think there's baggage with that guy that they don't really want to deal with. Like, this is a kid that's coming in with already $10 million in
nil. Right.
We don't really have a team to deal with this right now. Like, I can't deal with a prima donna quarterback. I can't deal with him pulling up to camp in a Ferrari. The guy's already got a Ferrari.
Like, I'm right. Not,
I need a humble man to come here and work with me because I don't have anything. My team is shit. I need to build a team, right? I can't imagine the Cardinals are going to go and take him because they have Kyler.
Right. They've already extended him.
Right. Then you have the Chargers who already have Justin Herbert.
Right.
Okay, now we're getting into it. Now we go to the Giants. And now are the Giants going to take Caleb Williams? Does that sound like something the Giants would do? To me, it doesn't.
No.
Right?
No.
And now we go to the Titans. Okay, get the Tennessee Titans. They drafted quarterbacks in the last two drafts.
Yes, they did.
They're really not in position to take another quarterback, right? So that to me is out. Then you get the Bears again. Shocker, right?
Yeah.
But then it starts to get interesting because now you're the New York Jets. You're
no.
the New York Jets, and you have a history of drafting guys that played for USC.
Oh, shit.
You like
Don't being do this.
On the back page
Don't do this.
Of the New York Post.
Don't do this. Don't do this.
You're gonna not take the guy that's dropped 10, the projected best quarterback in this draft. You're gonna not take him because you have Aaron Rodgers on your team.
You really want him to run?
He's running for vice president.
You really want him to run for vice president, don't you? Last time they drafted Jordan Love without him, without his permission, look what he did.
I'm just saying, at some point. You're looking, if you're in the draft room, you're looking around, they're like, what the fuck are we going to do? We cannot not take this guy.
Oh my God.
Because then after you, the Vikings, it's an easy decision. The Broncos, it's an easy decision.
Yeah.
Hell, the Raiders is probably the easiest decision because he looks like a Raider. He acts like a Raider. He's a freaking Raider.
Oh my God.
And then you go to the Saints, another one. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Derek Carr? No, you're in.
Yeah.
The only one that stops it is the Colts. The Colts will stop the bleeding because they just got Richardson, so they're not going to take him. And then the Seahawks? Yeah, because what? Geno's our guy, but you could come here and be the backup? Sure.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I don't know if you really see him sliding.
I do.
Really?
I do only because... I truly believe that the Patriots have made their decision on who they're going to take.
Hmm.
That's the only reason why. And the Commanders, it's a slam dunk for them to take Caleb Williams, which makes it like almost like they won't.
Right.
Even though they have his former like offensive coordinator or whatever, that doesn't really mean anything. You know, and it's the guy coming home, but it's the baggage. It's like you're the Commanders. You're trying to start fresh. You're trying to start new. You got a guy coming from a good program, pocket passer, big kid. Bay is a big kid, big guy. It's not. So I don't think it's so clear cut, man. I don't think it's so clear cut.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Moving over to baseball, where the Yankees are concerned with their ace, Gerrit Cole. Number 45 has had a tough time recovering from starts this spring, and he's experiencing discomfort in his pitching elbow. He had an MRI, he got some further testing, and the decision has been made to shelve him until June. Now, a start on opening day is not happening. So, how far can the Yankees go without old number 45 running out there for them every fifth day?
Oh, dear God. Well, who starts opening day is the question.
Rodon, baby! Let's go!
He Woo! Finally hit 97. Woo! He finally Woo! Hit 97 on the on his fastball.
Let's go, Carlos.
He's been riding at 91, 93 all spring. So, you know, of course...
Could go with the Stroman.
Oh, God. Marcus Stroman.
Hey,
Nestor
man, he had
Cortez.
A good year. He had a good year last year, the Stroman. He had a really good year.
Ah.
Nice. And I'm pretty sure he's a Connecticut guy. New York guy.
Long Island. Long Island.
New York guy.
So, this gives me a lot of pause, right? Because everybody slotted down a spot. So, Rodon, 2, Stroman, 3, Cortez, 4, Take your pick at five. Take your pick. Take your pick. Bullpen day, whatever the fuck. Cole being out moves everybody up a slot, and it increases the pressure to perform. And like Carlos Rodon, the last thing he needs is more pressure to perform after last season. Marcus Stroman, the last thing he needs is pressure to perform. The only guy who I think is going to rise to the occasion is Nestor Cortez. Just because we've seen it. Right? Marcus Stroman at one point was an ace material with Blue Jays. But that's...
all 5-7 of him.
Right. But that's Toronto. Back when they weren't any good. Or back when they were still finding themselves. They couldn't wait to get his ass out of town. They couldn't wait to get rid of him, and they got nothing back from him for the Mets. They got nothing back. They got Anthony Kay, who ended up back with the Mets. They got Simeon Woods Richardson. They traded Simeon Woods Richardson.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Oh my god. Yeah. Wait. Who is
he? Had him already. Oh, all right.
No, that's Marcus Simeon. He played second base. So the Yankees were already on thin ice to begin with. This definitely makes matters worse. Can they tread water until June? And what is Gerrit Cole going to look like when he comes back? Because he's having trouble recovering. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a major problem. Now, he's got to shut it down and then ramp it back up. Who's to say this doesn't happen again? But you're in a division. It wasn't winnable last year. It's becoming less winnable this year now that you don't have Cole. Yes, you will bludgeon the ball. The Bronx Bombers should be in full effect. But without Cole, I can't say more than third place. Like, at the high water mark without Gerrit Cole and without signing Snell or Montgomery.
Schnell, and they just lost out on Cease.
Right, and they just lost Dylan Cease. Like, I can't see them jumping Toronto. I can't see them jumping Tampa Bay. I sure shit can't see them jumping Baltimore. So, at the very high water, you're looking at third place. And even that was with Cole. That was with Cole. You're looking at third place. But I don't know. I think the Blue Jays got him. If there's no Cole for an extended period of time, if he's out for God forbid he's out until 4th of July. No, the Yankees are toast. Absolutely toast without Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like this is one of those injuries where he could come back, pitch four games, and he's just like, I don't feel right, man. Like, you know, that's the feel of this. He can come back in July and pitch four games and then have to go for Tommy John, which would be a disaster, right?
Right.
And the problem is like he's not even feeling pain, he's feeling discomfort. And you're like, come on, man, are you serious? Like, you know, I'm sure that was the reaction where he's like, I'm just feeling discomfort. I'm like, man, are you kidding me? But listen, I don't really like him, but in his defense, all the pitchers that are in his class, like his caliber, his age, his talent level, they've all had Tommy John, and he hasn't yet. And he's been a workhorse. Like, my man was pitching into the 7th and the 8th innings last year, won the Cy Young last year. Like, he's legit. You know, he had a legit season. So that's the only thing I'm going to say is, like, dude, it's like he went out there and balled out. And unfortunately, you know, this is just what happens to everybody, man. What, John Smoltz had it twice? Yeah. Like, it happens. And unfortunately, it's happening to you right now. And as far as what does this mean for the Yankees? Yeah, I mean, I think they're cooked because they're an older team and a lot of their guys are hurt. Like, Stanton's always hurt.
Yeah.
Judge is dealing with an abdominal issue. You know,
and that toe is not getting better.
The toe is a problem, man. So, you know, he probably can't, like, dive. I'm sure he can't dive, and I'm sure he can't really jump for the ball. Like, and they've been really, like, reluctant to go for a Blake Snell, who sounds like he's looking at going to the Angels now. I don't know why.
Shows you what he thinks about winning.
Yeah. Low pressure situation. And Montgomery, the word on Montgomery is he don't want to come to New York. He doesn't want to come back.
No, why would he?
So, I would want to play here. And yeah, I agree with you. I think I had them slotted for second or third. But, I mean, I think Baltimore's arrived. Blue Jays are a good team. I don't know why they weren't better last year. They're a good team. The Rays always compete at a high level. So, yeah, you're going to be assed out quicker than you know.
Right. And then you're looking at
see what
you're looking at guys like Clark Schmidt. Like, he had a solid year. Like, he had an okay year last year. Now, like, okay, Clark, go be Gerrit Cole.
I feel like we keep saying, like, I feel like his whole life, like, they're saying, all right, you're going to get better. You're going to keep getting better. Like, you know, he's like one of those guys who are like, all right, next year, yeah. Like, you know, they've been telling him that for like 10 years now.
I think we need to call Danny. I think we need to go call Danny and get him on here and see what he has to say about this. But you're looking at the likes of Clark Schmidt and Luke Weaver and Clayton Beater. And these are the guys that are going to try to replace Gerrit Cole in the aggregate. Ain't nobody replacing Gerrit Cole in the aggregate. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. If you have any aspirations, you gotta go and pay out the ass right now.
That's right. And that's the whole thing. Is like, if you really want to do this, you're gonna have to pay for it.
Completely.
You're gonna have to pay for it. Because you don't want to do it, that's what you're gonna have to do.
Yeah. We've seen this before in New York, right? With UCL tears and elbows. You had a guy and Masahiro Tanaka, who pitched with it the entirety of his tenure as a Yankee. He learned to manage it. This is what it became, right?
He was such a strange fella, that guy. He would only play for the Yankees, right?
He only played for the Yankees, then he went back to Japan and pitched for the Swallows.
Right.
Did the Occult Swallows.
Right.
Or is it the Rakuten Golden Eagles, I think? One of the two.
I don't know, but I remember it was so odd. Like, he refused to play for any major league team. He came, played for the Yankees, then he left.
Yeah.
He didn't do shit when he was here.
I mean, he was, like, in 2016, he got some Cy Young votes. He was a solid pitcher. He was better before the injury occurred. Now, you're also looking at...
I'd rather have Chin-Ming Wong.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chin-Ming Wong was, like, a meteor, man. Like, he was a shooting star. And
he fell on home plate in Houston, and he was never the same.
The first time Houston fucked over the Yankees. The first time they did.
He was never the same after that.
Nope, never. The documentary they did on Chin-Ming Wong to try his journey to get back to the major leagues with the Royals was actually a very good documentary. It's highly recommended if you guys are in the market for a sports documentary. But you've seen...
Prime?
Say again?
Where is it, on Prime?
I think it's on Prime or it's on Hulu. One or the other. But... We saw with Tanaka, who was able to manage the injury throughout his career. And then you look at a guy like Matt Harvey. It went. He had to have Tommy John surgery, and he was never the same. Because then came the thoracic the outlet injury.
Some other things factoring the coke. Into his demise.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of things happened to Matt Harvey. But that was the down... That was like the down... The downward turn started with the UCL.
Dark Knight, all right.
Yeah, well, there was some dark nights for a while. Absolutely. And this could be a dark night for the Yankees. Like, it absolutely could be. This season was one of promise, right? You got your impact bat. You got Rizzo back healthy. You got, you know, you had Judge. You have your ace. You lengthened the rotation. This was supposed to be the year, right? You brought in some of the kids. Like, Dominguez is supposedly going to be coming back. And just like that, and poof, in the blink of an eye, gone. Completely gone. Now, it's not over yet, because they haven't made the official statement. It's only till June. But you can easily get buried. You can easily get buried in baseball by June.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? a delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch Apple to Campfire S'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Moving to and from one injury to another injury, the big cat in Minnesota, Karl Anthony Towns, tore his meniscus, and he had his meniscus repaired, and he'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Is this a big deal, a little deal, or no deal?
Well, if you're looking at it, they're 45-21 on the year. They have playoff aspirations beyond what they've been able to do. So I gotta say it's a big deal, right? It's a big man in a knee. Like that's kind of a big deal. That restricts his mobility, that restricts, you know, his jumping ability. You need to be able to get up and down on the boards. And that's what Karl Anthony Towns is all about. Now, it also changes how they structure things, right? Because you have Anthony Edwards, and then, you know, it's Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. Now, that changes, right? You have a little bit of a difference there. Who's going to step up in his absence to keep them up near the top of the Western Conference? I mean, we'll see. We absolutely will see what happens. And, you know, kudos to the T-Wolves. They're there. They're absolutely there right now. But you have to figure there's going to be a backslide. Karl Anthony Towns is too talented to replace entirely. So you have a little bit of time, and yeah, I think there, if he has to miss a playoff series, I think they'll be fine. The longer it goes, you have to think that, you know, they're going to start to be in some trouble.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards is the star, right? They've gotten a big enough cushion. It takes a lot to come back from that kind of injury when you're a big guy like that. And I think he just needs to take his time with it and, you know, try his best to work more as a perimeter player initially until he's feeling froggish, where he can get down low and take a battering and go up and down the floor and so on. They might want to limit his minutes in the beginning. You really just got to be ready to go by that second round. I think we all think that Minnesota will be able to get out of the first round of the playoffs, but in that second round is when they're going to be really tested. So I'm going to say it's a little deal, because, you know, you're going to be playing without one of your best players. But, you got Rudy Gobert, you've got other talent, and they've been really just pushing all the right buttons this year.
So if the season ended today, they would draw the Suns in the first round. Could they hold off the Suns without Karl Anthony Towns?
No, they can't do it without him, but they can definitely do it with him at like 80%. You know, and that's essentially what you're going to be, right? Because he's being reevaluated in a month. He's being reevaluated in April. We got time, man. But, you know, the playoffs, I think, don't start until like May or something like that.
That's about right. But at the same time, like, you're looking at the teams in the play-in tournament, and if the T-Wolves are able to stay afloat, and if, you know, the Nuggets or the Thunder falter a little bit, you're going to be drawing teams, potentially either the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Warriors. Like, you're going to have some playoff-tested teams there to give you a run if you move up in the seeding. So it's going to be very interesting to see how we go down the stretch here, who steps up in the place, and how Chris Finch alters the way the team plays to make up for the fact that Karl Anthony Towns isn't there. So ultimately, I mean, I would have to say, little deal is probably the best way to go, because most likely he's just going to miss one series. I think little deal is fair. But if they go out again, right? They went out last year because of youthful, immaturity. This year they'll go out because, they're probably not, talented enough beyond those guys. Like, they have some players, but nobody to fill in that void. Like, where do the T-Wolves go from here? Like, what does that become? Do you start to question whether or not you have the right mix? Do you start to question whether or not you made the right moves?
Yeah, I do. I do think you do. But, you're kind of pigeonholed into this thing. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, injuries happen. You got to roll with who's available, active and attractive, and you make the best of it. I don't think it's anybody's fault, Everybody's making fun of the Rudy Gobert deal, but it's worked out really well for them. And Anthony Edwards has arrived,
yeah.
Right? He's a superstar, and they're going to be all right.
No, I think they'll be okay. I am very concerned, actually, about the Clippers losing Kawhi Leonard. Like, I think that's going, because they just lost him in a game against the T-Wolves. So losing Kawhi to injury, that might shift the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. And if they slide a little bit, do you end up with, do they end up in the 4-5, or do they drop all the way down to 6 to where, now I'm playing the T-Wolves in the first round? Do I lose out on home court, and do I end up on the road? I gotta say, that's an intriguing matchup, because the Clippers are loaded for bear, as per usual. They have their guys. You got Harden, you got Paul George. If Kawhi Leonard is able to be healthy, if he's able to heal up, that's a hell of a series. It's absolutely a hell of a series. But the playoff picture in the Western Conference, it's loaded, it's exciting, and I think we are going to be in for quite the ride coming up until June.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, Rangers' Matt Rempe suspended for 4 games.
Yeah, it's kind of fair. I mean, there's some thuggery going on. There was some goonery going on. I think, he's young. They had to make an example of him. The last hit he had, I think it was against a Jersey player, put his elbow right to the guy's fucking jaw, knocked him out.
He's a big boy, man. He's 6'4", like 260, 250. If you're knocking people out, like, so.
Yeah, I think it's fair. It's a hockey game, not a fight.
No, 6'7", 7 feet on skates.
There you go, 6'7".
His strike zone is different than other people, but that's no reason to have your elbows up, right? There's no reason to have your stick out of control. So it's absolutely fair that Matt Rempe is getting a seat, right? It's absolutely fair that he got a hearing. Like, that's reckless. That's out of control. You knocked out Nate Bastian. Now you knocked out Jonas Siegenthaler. You know, you do this in the playoffs. Now all of a sudden, the Rangers are shorthanded for 5 minutes in a playoff series. Like, that is something that can swing the momentum of a series and take this season that was so promising and flush it completely down the toilet, especially as you ramp up the competition. Yeah, as of right now, the Rangers draw the Red Wings in the first round. But you get past them, you're looking at maybe the Canes, maybe the Flyers, maybe the Bruins eventually. Can't be doing that. As you ratchet up the competition and as the teams get better, you can't give these teams opportunities. So it's up to Laviolette to kind of coach this out of Matt Rempe. And he's got to understand that actions have consequences, not just from suspension standpoint, but also play. You're not going to get ice time if you're going to keep doing this shit. And it's actually really disappointing because he was in front of the net screening on the Gustafsson goal. Like, he was there. He did exactly what he needed to do. He was in eclipse. That's exactly what he needs to be. That's exactly what he needs to do. And then he went and elbowed Siegenthaler in the head. Like, you know, you can't be doing that, man. You got to play with discipline. You have to be gritty, but you have to be disciplined. And, you know, Tom Wilson works for the Caps because he gets them off. He gets the other team off their game. But he stays in the game. He doesn't get kicked out. Play within the rules. Play tough. Play hard-nosed. But stay in the game. That is the bottom line. Fair or foul number two. Robert F. Kennedy eyeing Aaron Rodgers as his running mate for vice president?
The whole thing is like, this dude preached in, like, last year about there not being any distractions. This is a fucking distraction, what? Asshole.
Right. He, like, is a distraction.
You do not realize you're being a distraction right now? Like, I thought this is the stuff we're trying to get rid of. Like, you should be coming out immediately and saying, no, like, I'm not doing this. I'm not being considered for this. I'm a football player. I'm looking forward to rehabbing and working for the Jets. But from what I understand, he's entertaining this notion. And it's like, I don't understand. You know, the whole thing is like, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not going to win.
No.
Not going to win.
No.
No matter what, no. Not going to win.
Not yet.
Probably. So why would you want to be his VP in a race that you're going to lose? You know, that's like signing up to be the co-captain on the Titanic. Like, what? Like, you already know this, how this is going to go out. So I say it's foul. Like, what? Why? Why do you think that makes you legitimate?
It's completely foul. He's a fucking clown. Aaron Rodgers is a fucking clown. I'll say it. We're dancing around it. I'll say it. Fucking clown. You ran your mouth. You ran your way out of Green Bay. The team completely kowtowed to you. Brought in all your guys. You're probably going to get David Bakhtiari. You're probably going to get, you know, you might get AJ Dillon. You know, you might get anybody who's ever worn a Green Bay Packer uniform. They may go friggin' get Antonio Freeman out of retirement. I don't know. But the New York Jets have bent over backwards to make you the center of the universe in Florham Park. And this is how you do them? Come on, man. You know, like, we like to joke around about Aaron Rodgers and his press secretary, Pat McAfee, and, you know, the tinfoil hat wearers that he speaks to. But to seriously entertain this is a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face to the fans. It's a slap in the face to the people who come to watch your fucking ass every week. Right? They come to watch this team. They live and die with this organization. And what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You're making this about you. It's about you. It's always about you. And you're just going to flush this season down the toilet. Now, rumor has it, the Jets are upset with Aaron. Oh, they're so upset. Because there's no way he can campaign and play at the same time. It's a third party. What campaign is he legitimately going to do? Right? And there's no guarantee that Robert Kennedy's even going to make it to election day. You can run out of money. You can run out of steam. But, you know, how fucked? How fucked is this concept? How fucked is this idea? It's pretty out there. And Aaron Rodgers, just do what you do best. Just do what you do best. And lay off the politics, please. Just come back, play football, and don't be a distraction. Fair or foul, number 3, Arch Manning opting out of NCAA College Football 25.
Oh, jeez. It's foul. What's the problem, dude? What are you pulling, Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan was never in any of those NBA games. It stunk. He was like, everybody wanted to play Michael Jordan. Now you can't play it. Everybody's going to be in this game. Why wouldn't you want to be in this game? So silly. So I'm saying it's foul.
I don't care one way or the other, to be honest with you. Like, the NCAA college football games didn't do anything for me. The college basketball games never did anything for me. It's the Ed O'Bannon rule. You know, he wanted to get paid for being in a college basketball video game. Frankly, who gives a shit? Like, who gives a shit about college basketball video games and college football video games? You get paid more money in your NIL deal than you probably ever will in royalties from EA Sports. So, what's the point? Just license your name and move on. Just, it's foul. Just, what's the point? They're not going to give you more money. You didn't even start last year. Quinn Ewers was the starter. Like, just because your last name is Manning? Yeah, sure, fine, I guess, whatever. But you know what? NIL is such that, you know, we can have these conversations now. Oh, can we turn these things down now? They're getting paid money hand over fist, man. They can afford to turn this stuff down. They absolutely can. And, you know, who loses here? People who are going to buy the video game. Not so much Arch Manning, not the University of Texas, not the NCAA. But I get your point, too, about how kids wanted to play as Michael Jordan. Bill Belichick was never in Madden. Never. Barry Bonds was never in MLB The Show.
That's right.
So, it's interesting. It's very interesting. And it's foul. It's absolutely foul, but at the end of the day, how many of those games did they run out there with guys like Tim Tebow on the cover, Denard Robinson on the cover? Like, how many times did they run those guys out there on the cover? And then once you got to gameplay, it was number 11 or number 2 or number 1. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It does not matter whatsoever. Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants? We got those too. Like some cool accessories? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos. Tell me how my cap tastes. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got Garrett Cole. Discomfort in your pitching elbow and the issues rebounding after starts this spring will sideline you until June, possibly July. Garrett Cole, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Z, I don't know if you know about this one. This is a local story. The refs in New Jersey in the Manasquan versus Camden basketball game. Manasquan appeared to score the winning bucket as time expired in high school basketball, but the refs came together without replay, decided to overturn the call and award the victory to Camden, causing much problems. I feel bad for all the players and the coaches involved. Should have just let the call on the court stand. The refs in the Manasquan versus Camden basketball game in high school basketball in New Jersey. You guys are my alleged superstars of the week. And number three, Zach Wilson. Zach Dub.
Oh, jeez.
Your trade value took a shot earlier in the week.
Oh, God.
When the Patriots traded Mac Jones to the Jags for a sixth round pick. Zach, if you're able to find a trade for yourself, you should become an agent. Zach, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Z, what do you got?
He'll be Ari Gold. He'll be absolutely Ari Gold if he's able to find a trade for himself. I gotta start with Aaron Rodgers. Floating out your name as vice presidential candidate for third party candidate Robert F. Kennedy. Major league distraction to a team that, quite frankly, did not need any distractions. It's a distraction into and in and of itself, right? There are so many stories. Like, how was your Achilles going to hold up? How were you going to attack rehab? So you can be there and play more than the four snaps you played last season. Off to a hell of a start there, Aaron. Off to a hell of a start. Hell of a start there. Aaron Rodgers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Brian Cashman. This was your opportunity to make your rotation better. Yes, Garrett Cole is hurt and that stinks, but you had an opportunity to give up some of your lottery tickets, stay under the luxury tax, and bring in a guy who could make your team better in Dylan Cease. Your refusal to include Spencer Jones in the trade has ultimately cost you that player, at least for a few seasons, since Dylan Cease is now in San Diego. And, not to mention, one of the players that you sent to San Diego for Juan Soto ended up in Chicago. So there's that too. So Brian Cashman, the Yankees are not better, and the Yankees are not getting better because you're kind of stuck. on some kind of fixation here. You're not as good as you think you are. Your prospects are not as good as you think they are. You take what is, not what could be. That's how you end up with a generation of Greg Birds and Miguel Andujars and Clint Fraziers, because you overvalue and protect them and protect them and protect them. Meanwhile, you could have traded them and you could have gotten how many guys that could have helped your team win. Get your head out of your ass, Brian. Brian Cashman, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, Tiki Barber. On Tiki and Evan saying that Saquon Barkley's dead to him after Saquon signed that lucrative contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, becoming the laughingstock of not only sports radio, but also the NFL, as he's getting dogged by players on X. The entire league thinks you're a joke, Tiki. And you know what? Rightfully so. It's a ridiculous position, and it just comes off like you're being salacious for the sake of being salacious. So, you know, an afternoon drive radio host. So, good job, I guess. Tiki Barber, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, or go to our new Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.